1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9 FM in Manchester and vicinity. Kale and Company, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. You can give them a call, make an appointment right now at 603-225-7988. And happy to say, joining me on this edition of Kale and Company is retired United States Army Brigadier General Donald Bolduc, who is running for United States Senate against the incumbent Maggie Hassan. General Bolduc, we welcome you back to Kale and Company.
Well, Ken, it's great to be back. Thank you very much, and my best to all your listeners.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope it was a good holiday for you.
We had an excellent holiday. We had the whole family home, which in my lifetime, hasn't been something that was very consistent. But this year, we were able to pull it off, and all three sons were home, and all the grandchildren, and it was a wonderful opportunity. So I'm very, very grateful.
That is great to hear. So happy to hear that. And since the last time you were on this program, you have a new job.
Well, I do. I graduated from the New Hampshire Police Academy, on 19 November, and I am honored to be back into the law enforcement community after a long break from the 80s, where I worked for Laconia Police Department, to now where I'm honored to be part of the Hampton community.
Well, that is outstanding, and as always, we thank you for your service, whether it was in the U.S. Army or serving Laconia, now serving Hampton. So, absolutely, that is terrific to hear. I want to talk about an issue you posted recently on your Facebook page regarding the new partnership between China and Cuba. Talk about that for a minute.
Sure. Very dangerous partnership. I've been writing now for a number of years. Began back in my time in Africa because of China's behavior in Africa and its really its stealing of the natural resources across Africa in conjunction with Russia, North Korea, and Iran. You know, all four of them have this have this pact, so to speak, you know, that an enemy of my enemy is my friend. And that, of course, is all, you know, pointed at the United States of America. And it is just amazing to me that we continue to fail diplomatically, politically, economically, through the UN. You know, I'm not a big fan of the UN, and a lot of people aren't a big fan of the UN, but at the end of the day, you know, we put the most money into the UN, yet we don't have the leverage in the UN, and China does, and they control a lot. And their Silk Road Initiative is a huge danger to free trade. It's a huge danger to the autonomy of other nations. They will enter into deals with them and then hold them hostage and take stuff from them, like they just did recently in Uganda, taking over the airport that they've been building at, you know, a quid pro quo type of national, you know, policy that the communist Chinese have. And they do it all over the world. They do it in Asia. They do it in Europe. They do it in South America, Central America. Now we're seeing it in Cuba, only 90 miles away. They're solidifying the Communist Party's principles there. You know, we gave up an opportunity earlier this year to help Cuban freedom patriots stand up against communism to our detriment. You know, there's no respect for our military deterrence either. You know, there's a caution not to poke the United States, but at the end of the day, they realize that economically, fiscally, and just politically, just our political dynamics in this country, are playing to their idea of unrestricted warfare, political warfare, where they use every means available to them, diplomatic, politically, economically, militarily, to undermine their major opponent, and that's us. And so they're an existential threat. And 90 miles away, yeah. entering into a trade agreement, Ken, is hugely dangerous for not only America, but for the rest of the world.
You know, it's unbelievable to me, just 90 miles off the coast of Florida, China, who is a threat to the entire world, but specifically we're talking about the United States here, 90 miles away, they enter into a partnership with Cuba, and yet we, you know, hear nothing about it in the mainstream media, really. Nobody's talking about this.
No one talks about it. And, you know, it's another Biden administration foreign policy failure. My opponent is certainly not talking about it because, you know, she's locked arms with the Biden administration on everything that they're doing. And it's dangerous for us. It's hugely dangerous for us. You know, we went nuts back in the 60s when, you know, Russia, you know, put nukes there, and, you know, the Soviet Union at the time put nukes there. We had the nuclear crisis, you know, the 13 days with, you know, that JFK had to work through.
Yeah.
We went through an entire Cold War. The Soviet Union, we were very worried about. But China, someone who now possesses almost every leverage on us, to include owning a substantial amount of our debt, which the interest we pay on that pays for their military, we don't even blink. We say absolutely nothing. And it just goes to show you that the corporate media and everybody else is just, you know, not doing their job in terms of bringing this to the forefront of America. It's yet another failure, which is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, it truly is. And as you pointed out just a moment ago, I mean, the United States had the opportunity to support the people of Cuba rising up against tyranny and communism and did absolutely nothing about it, which is a shame.
We did nothing about it. As a matter of fact, instead of helping them and instead of allowing some of the persecuted to come to America, we said no to them, and we opened up our entire border. Mm. Now 2.3 million people that have come through, largely unchecked, you know, placed all over the United States to the detriment of our internal security, you know, our economy and our fiscal stability. It absolutely makes no sense, Ken. Absolutely no sense, because we have people in Washington, D.C., that are not focused on this. They don't care about this. They care about the re-election. You know, all you hear is who's going to win the House, who's going to win the Senate, who's going to do this. Hey, that matters less than putting the right people in Washington, D.C. that are going to work for America, that are going to work for economic prosperity, fiscal stability, and the safety and security of Americans. And then, you know, that everything else, you know, works itself out, right? But we can't do that, you know. It's all about this status quo. It's all about maintaining this self-serving career politician who, regardless of what aisle they're on, invest in and promote this very, very divisive and corrupt two-party political system that we find ourselves in today that is not doing the job for Granite Staters in America.
Well, the Winter Olympics are scheduled for Beijing in February. The White House has said there will be a diplomatic boycott of the Games, which to me really means nothing. What do you think about the U.S. athletes and athletes around the world heading to China for the Games?
Well, you know, the answer to this question is always the double-edged sword,
yeah.
right? Because there, you know, two opinions on it. But, you know, I come from the 1980 era of the idea of Olympics and boycotting Olympics under you know, President Carter. And, you know, we wouldn't have had the Miracle on Ice. We wouldn't have had that great moment, that great miracle, that great opportunity to believe, and then understand that, yes, the unconquerable spirit of America, even in the position of being an underdog, can triumph for all the right reasons. And we have athletes that have trained their entire life and dedicated themselves to this. And so I want to go to China and kick their butt. I want to beat them in the medal count, yep. Gold, silver, bronze. I want to take America to them, take it to them hard, and let them know that they're messing with the wrong people, that their way is the wrong way. And we can't control who makes the decision on where it's going to be and when it's going to be. And when they make that decision, what the political environment is going to look like at the end of the day. But failing to do something is always a bigger risk than doing something, right? And we saw that in Afghanistan, right? You go to the Afghanistan withdrawal, right? I mean, it was a terrible decision, right? There's many of us, myself included, that said, hey, we need to get out of Afghanistan, right? However, you got to do it the right way. And I think dismissing ourselves and giving them a victory is wrong. You know, being successful in life sometimes is just showing up. And we need to take it to them and take it to them hard in every area that we can possibly do that. So that's where I stand on this issue.
Very good. And General Bolduc, you mentioned Afghanistan in passing, but that's another issue we don't hear much about from the mainstream media anymore. They've kind of swept that under the rug, the whole, you know, botched exit from Afghanistan. You never or very rarely hear about it anymore. And it's still a huge issue.
It is a huge issue because it redefined in the eyes of many of our allies the commitment, wherewithal, and trust that they can have in America, which is inconsistent with our American values and our principles. And it made a statement across the world which really hurt America in the eyes of the rest of the world. It blew, a blow to freedom and a blow to our ancestors and everything that they stood for, and all the sacrifice of Americans in Afghanistan, not only Afghanistan, but, you know, Iraq and Syria and Africa and many of the other places that we operate in today under this, you know, deployed in areas that we consider not to be a conventional type war. And, you know, it was a colossal failure, and it redefined our foreign policy. It redefined the commitment that others have to us. But most importantly, and worst of all, it emboldened China, it emboldened Russia. North Korea is quiet today because we're not putting any pressure on them. A quiet North Korea is a dangerous North Korea. They're doing their thing. They're operating under the radar. They're continuing to move forward with their nuclear program. Iran is doing the same thing. That's all broken. The Biden administration and my opponent, who supports all this, is setting us up for failure. Our critical infrastructure is vulnerable. We've done nothing about that. Unprecedented cyber attacks into this country. We've done nothing about that. And so we leave ourselves here with a very visible example of the withdrawal from Afghanistan as a indicator to the rest of the world where America stands and what we're going to do to help people when the going gets tough. And that is not representative of the American spirit.
No, not at all. I understand there are still thousands of Americans in Afghanistan.
Yes, there is. There is. They don't even know, and then they interfere with the and don't even aid the ability of other organizations to help get folks out. I get contacted all the time, and my heart is broken. I'm letting down men and women that I served with that have Afghan friends over there that helped us, that put their lives in danger, who are now in hiding with their families. I can't get them out. And I can't leverage anyone else to get them out because the State Department and the U.S. government is in our way. They won't do the right thing. And then we got to listen to the Secretary of State make a speech about how great it is for us not to be in Afghanistan for the first time in 20 years. Well, what a misguided speech that was. And, you know, he's been a detriment to national security for a long time now. You know, he was Undersecretary of Defense Undersecretary of State during the Obama administration. He had the same ideas that we suffered under then, and now he's at the top. And so, you know, these guys on both sides of the aisle, whether it's Republican or Democrat, it's like, oh, okay, well, the Republicans aren't in power now, the Republicans are in power now, so we're going to go work for, you know, the big think tanks, and when administrations change, we'll come back in at a higher level and do more damage because we're at a higher level than we did at the level that we were at. And this consistent swapping of the same people all the time to solve problems, when are we going to realize it is broken? It's a broken process, this idea of Ivy Leaguers can fix problems. Oh, seems to me they've got us into these problems. That people that work for think tanks, you know, and have the ability to get on television and, you know, write all these books, go back in and cause the same old problem. We need outsiders. We need people that are connected, that are affected by the problem, and not the, you know, career politicians that get in there over and over again because they are supported by elitist stakeholders, special interests, and lobbyists that use money and power to get people there. It's dangerous. We got to change this formula, Ken, or we're going to be in big trouble as we go in, you know, for the rest of this decade. It's unbelievable.
And for those who don't know, General Bolduc served 10 tours of duty in Afghanistan, so he knows of where he speaks, that is for sure. And what I thought was, I saw recently where President Biden said that the deaths of our U.S. service members during the disastrous exit of Afghanistan were inevitable. It just blew me away.
No, they weren't inevitable. As a matter of fact, they were preventable. And he failed, Secretary of State failed, and worse, the Secretary of Defense, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and every general officer all the way down to the two-star general on the ground in Afghanistan failed. And they all should be held accountable for this. They all should be fired. They all should be removed from their position. They all should be demoted down to, colonel. As far as I am concerned, this was preventable. Could there have been casualties? Yes, but not in this way. Not in the unsafe, I think there are legal implications here. I think what they did was immoral. I think they violated their oath and their duty and responsibility to the service members. And most importantly, they acted in a very negligently unsafe manner with orders from our civilian leadership that should have been protested against. I've done it before with success. You don't hear about it, but when the senior leadership comes down with a mission and that mission is evaluated, and it is determined to be negligently unsafe, and it doesn't even come close to satisfying any of our mitigation of risk factors, you have an obligation to say, hey, I can't do this under these conditions. You need to provide me with the following. And if you don't, I'm not going to order anybody to go into this mission in harm's way until I get the minimum things that I need, right? And we know that wasn't done. You know, we know it wasn't done because they didn't say they did it. They just said they offered their best military advice. Well, I know what that is, right? That's just, you know, political talk for, you know, we just did what they told us to do because we don't want to push back because we're afraid we'll lose our job or we won't get the next promotion. And that comes from someone who was in that environment, saw it, dealt with it, and, you know, hey, you got to do your job, and you got to do it to the best, you know, you got to do it not with the idea of your next promotion in mind, but with the idea of protecting the people in your organization first and foremost from harm's way. And that was a criminal statement for him to make, an irresponsible statement for him to make. I was very, very upset to hear it. And what did my opponent say about it? Nothing. Nothing.
And not most of the mainstream media either. So, you know, there you go. Our guest is General Donald Bolduc. And Army Brigadier General Donald Bolduc is a candidate for U.S. Senate. We'll take a quick break here. 1450 AM WKXL, 1039 FM, 1019 FM as well. Presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and Weed Family Automotive. Welcome back. We have a few more minutes with Brigadier General Donald Bolduc, who is running for U.S. Senate against Maggie Hassan, so far the only announced Republican candidate, and always glad to have General Bolduc with us. And during his campaign from the basement, General Bolduc, in Delaware, Joe Biden was highly critical of his opponent, President Trump, especially about his handling of COVID. A year later, we're having more deaths under the man who said he had a plan to take care of all this. Apparently, that plan is not working very well.
No, it's not working very well, and it's never worked very well. And from the beginning of this, at least after the first 90 days of this COVID strategy, you know, I said, hey, listen, we're approaching this in the wrong way. And we know today that the COVID strategy is ineffective. The COVID strategy is confusing and contradictory, and it makes no sense. Look what they put out today. 5 days, 10 days. Wear a mask on this day. We've got a booster. Do this, do that. I mean, people don't know which way to turn. We got long lines of testing. Are you kidding me? He was critical of President Trump because they didn't have, you know, at the start of the COVID pandemic, they didn't have enough of this. They didn't have enough of that. Well, he's the same way. I mean, he didn't have the foresight to even predict a variant, never mind having testing. And I'm like, listen, we got common sense here. We can do critical thinking. I'm sitting at home, and I can go, you know what? I'm not sick. I don't have a fever. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have any of the symptoms. I mean, why do I need a government test to tell me what I already know? If I'm at home, and I go, you know what? I'm not feeling well. I'm sick to my stomach and this. Oh, I might have something. Looks like I'm just going to have to stay home and take care of myself and, you know, stay hydrated and so on and so forth. And if it gets worse, I can call my doctor and say, hey, I got the following things. And they can say, well, I think you might have a virus. Just do X, Y, and Z. If these things happen, you know, give us a call back or come into the office or whatever it happens to be. But common sense and critical thinking are absolutely something they don't want Americans to have. And I think we look at it today, the COVID strategy has done more harm than it's done good. And look what Biden did. He threw up his hands and he said, hey, I'm passing this problem to state and local governments, which, based on what they've done across the country, this should concern us all, right? I mean, come on, Ken. This is unbelievable. And now what are we doing? We're making, you know, we created more uncertainty instead of predictability. We've created more fear instead of, self-confidence. We have created more divisiveness than we have anything else. Now people don't know what to do, and they're turning on each other, which is very bad. And we have a country that is going through a number of other crises that have been created in large part because of the actions of our political leaders, and no more than what we're doing to the military with the requirement of the shot and dishonorably or other than honorably discharging our service members, which is completely wrong, and firing healthcare professionals who have worked throughout this whole entire thing arbitrarily and then preventing them from getting unemployment services. That's wrong, too. The government makes the decision or creates an environment in which you lose your job. The government has a responsibility to provide the same type of unemployment it gives the opportunity of anybody else. And it shouldn't be restricted because you didn't get a shot, right? This is a disaster. We know it's a disaster today. We need to listen to Dr. Marty McCary. We need to listen to Dr. Strang, someone you should probably have on your show, Ken, here in New Hampshire, who is a foremost expert on this stuff, instead of the talking heads that we've listened to since March of 2020, and that includes the so-called subject matter experts in this state, and we should treat a virus like a virus, and we can get through this much faster and with a better outcome than if we allow the government, who's driven by bureaucrats, money, power, and not the not the interests of the public at large.
And recently, President Biden deployed 1,000 troops, military troops, to fight COVID-19. And I know that that did not sit very well with you.
No, it did not sit well with me because, again, let's push the easy button. Let's use vaccine mandates and all these other decisions and policies that we're making to create the problems inside the hospitals and the emergency rooms with shortage of personnel and overcrowding because you can't go to your personal physician for COVID. You have to go to an emergency room and you have to have this and you have to have that and so on and so forth. And then because we create that problem, which we now know wasn't a good solution, admittedly by the president, and now we're going to call up the military, create a shortage in the military for their care of their people, which is already a shortage. So we're going to create that problem, and then we're going to bring in people, doctors and nurses, and take the place of others who have a better familiarity of the hospital's operating procedures, who generally know the people or most of the people coming in there, live in those communities, are invested in those communities, yet we're going to send the military in there. I am so tired of the president, the secretary of defense, and every other department in the military pushing the military easy button for every single problem that they create, that if they just change their policy would no longer be a crisis. And it's just wrong. And we don't have that vanguard at the top of Department of Defense to say, absolutely not. We're not going to do this. You can fire me if you want. I don't care. I got a higher responsibility here. And that's the bottom line. This go along, the move along, this organizational nepotism, this whole thing has created this huge problem. And we've misused our military in every way conceivable that I can see for every crisis that comes up that doesn't have a military solution. This isn't a military solution. We've done it in our own state here. It's absolutely wrong, and we need to change it, and we need to focus on our military to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, and use our very capable, very competent, medical infrastructure on the civilian side to deal deal with this issue.
General Bolduc, it's always great to have you with us, and I know you continue to be on the campaign trail. Are you going to have any local appearances coming up in the near future?
Well, yeah, tonight I'll be out at, I have something every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes multiple events, but tonight I'm going to be with the Goffstown GOP. I'm looking forward to that. And then, you know, we got a number of other events, you know, scheduled. New Year's Eve, I don't know if you're tracking, but New Year's Eve, the lantern, the Freedom Lantern comes back to New Hampshire where it started, went all over the world, all over the country. It comes back to New Hampshire. It's going to be in Exeter, a very patriotic place in our country's history. And I'm going to be there for that, to welcome that lantern back home. And so I'm looking forward to that.
That's on New Year's Eve. Very good. Very good.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, General Bolduc, always great to have you with us. Again, thank you for your service. And we wish you well on the campaign trail, and we'll have you back soon.
Thank you so much, Ken. God bless you, your family. God bless all your listeners, and I wish everybody the best new year. God bless you. God bless America, and live free or die, my friend.
Same to you, sir. And again, thank you, and best wishes. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Brigadier General Donald Bolduc with us here on the Kale and Company. Always great to have the general with us at 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM in the Manchester area. Kale and Company is presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. You can give them a call right now at 225-7988. WeedFamilyAutomotive.com. WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio, talking about what matters to you. 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 on the FM dial in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Kale and Company, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord, WeedFamilyAutomotive.com. And with any luck right now, we are going to be chatting with our resident flick chick. It's Kitty Ray back on the radio. Kitty Ray, how are you today?
I am doing awesome. How are you, Ken?
I am doing very, very well. Just had a great discussion with Brigadier General Don Bolduc. And a great American he is. There's no doubt about that. I know that you have spent part of your holiday celebration inside movie theaters.
And I have.
Yeah, that's what I understand. And
was it reported that I was in the theater?
It was. It was in all the papers.
Okay.
It was in all the papers that Kitty Ray was back. Kitty Ray sightings at movie theaters in the area.
Yes. Well, it's funny you're saying that, Ken, because I actually did go and see two movies, but the one movie that I did go to see, it had the largest crowd.
Yeah.
That I have been in this area for over a year.
In terms of a movie theater or any crowd?
No, in terms of a movie theater.
Oh, okay.
In terms of the movie theater, and I was amazed, actually. And it was actually for Spider-Man No Way Home.
Spider-Man No Way Home. Now, so how many people? Like 12, 13?
No, 10. There were over 50. 50. Over 50.
In the theater?
Yes.
At one time?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, I was so amazed. It was a few days before the holiday, so I know families had gathered, and I actually attended with my 18-year-old grandson.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of setting the scene here, okay? So this Spider-Man No Way Home, and it is a action movie. It's PG-13, over almost 2.5 hours, and it is, if when I said action, there was a lot of action in this movie. A lot. And this movie has, if you are a Spider-Man fan, and Tom Holland is actually the Peter Parker slash Spider-Man, and he's been doing this for, I don't know, about 3 years or so, but this is the first time in cinematic history that Spider-Man has been unmasked, and he had to deal with, you know, is this Peter Parker? And they knew it was Peter Parker, but they also knew he was Spider-Man, and there were a lot of issues dealing with that. So this movie has a lot of Peter's, you got to deal with him as a person, and there's a huge, obviously a huge fan base and for this movie. And it was in a huge cast. I mean, from Marissa Tomei to Zendaya to J.K. Simmons, Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, there's just so many people in this. It was amazing. And I say amazing because it's the amazing Spider-Man.
Wow, what a cast. I didn't realize the cast that was involved in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So now, I know you've seen other Spider-Man movies in the past. I don't know how many there have been. There have been quite a few.
There has been.
So how does this rank with the others you've seen?
Well, you know, Ken, I can't tell you I've seen all of them. I've seen most of them.
Yeah.
And this one is, for me, it was probably the best. Right. And I say that because in this movie, there are several very big surprises. And this movie had humor. It had emotion, some sadness that kind of tears at your heartstrings, but I love the surprises. In fact, in this, the audience, and myself included, we did some clapping, and there was a lot of wows being said out loud. And in fact, if you are a Spider-Man fan, you're going to love this movie. And if you're not, I think, and you've never been to a Spider-Man one, you're going to really enjoy it just because of the action and the cast. I think it was well acted, well directed. I think it's one of the best.
So if you've never even seen a Spider-Man movie before, you can go and enjoy it, correct?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
I've seen a couple. I haven't certainly seen as many as you have. I have seen a couple of the Spider-Man series, and they've always been entertaining.
Yeah.
And if you say this one is even more so, I guess maybe I should check it out.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes in this, and I do think you would enjoy it. Even you, Ken Kale.
Even me.
Yeah.
Even me.
Yes.
A grumpy old man like me might enjoy Spider-Man.
I did not say that. However.
No, I did.
But there's some great surprises, in it. And I don't want to go into them, but it is, because I don't want to spoil it for people. But it really is a great crowd. And I think anyone there would love it. And I asked my grandson, I told you he was 18, and talking about being old. But I said, okay, what should I give this as a rating? And I usually don't ask anyone their opinion of what they think of it. And he said, definitely 5 boxes of popcorn.
a 5, huh?
Yes.
Now, is that the rating you're going to give it?
You know what? I am.
Wow. I mean, that's tough to get a 5 box of popcorn rating out of you.
Yes, and it's not because I know my grandchildren listen, but it's, and I told them I would do it. But yes, I do because of the twists and turns in this cinematic, from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You won't be disappointed if you're a fan of this. And I am, obviously.
Well, Marissa Tomei is in it. I didn't know that. So that might inspire me to go. She's in one of my favorite movies of all time, My Cousin Vinny.
And she plays a good part. She actually plays the Aunt May in this. Oh, and also the post-credit, you know, how they have the after, the during the credits.
Yes, you got to stick around for the credits these days, folks.
Well,
got to stick around.
Yes, and this one, folks, there's two. So,
two?
There's two, so you're going to have to stay extra long.
Wow,
yeah.
Two series of credits, huh? Man,
usually
one is too long, but it's worth the wait, right? Worth the wait to stick around.
It is, and one of the reasons besides the post credits, I love to see. I'm into the soundtracks, as you know. I love music. I love movies. Lots of things, but I like to see who, you know, the songs, and so I always stay around anyway. And I know there's a lot of popcorn to be eaten.
Very good. Very good. Five boxes of popcorn for Spider-Man.
No way.
No way home.
Home. You got it.
All right. So Rotten Tomatoes has given it a 94%, and the audience says 97%. So you're right there. You're right there with them.
Okay.
You're right there with them, obviously. I know you have one more to talk about.
We
have to take a quick break right here on Kale & Company at 1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM in Manchester, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord, weedfamilyautomotive.com. Welcome back. We're heading down the home stretch of this edition of Kale & Company at 1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9 FM in the Manchester area. Kitty Ray, our resident flick chick, is with us. We talked about Spider-Man No Way Home, and the next movie you have to review, and I know I saw this movie as well, and it's rather bizarre, but I thought entertaining, and it's called Licorice Pizza.
Yeah. Isn't that really an odd title?
It sounds like an ad, yeah. Licorice Pizza. And
it makes me hungry.
Yeah, it sounds tasty.
Yes, it does, along with my popcorn, Ken.
There you go. Some licorice pizza and popcorn on the side.
It is.
So, licorice pizza. Yes. I know we only have, you know, about 2.5 minutes, and I know it's going to take, a long time to talk about this one. So go ahead.
I will. This is a comedy, drama, romance. It's 2 hours and 13 minutes, and it's written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. And it's a coming-of-age comedy drama, and it is, it's set in the early 70s, and in California, I think it's, San Fernando Valley, I think it was.
Yeah.
But it's in California, and it's, like I said, it's a coming-of-age, but there is two characters, Alana and Gary, and Alana is older. She's in her early 20s, and Gary is a teenager. He's in high school, and he it's more of a, they develop a friendship, and they go through, it's like this movie takes you in all different directions with their friendship, and on one side, Gary is infatuated with her, Alana, who is older, and there's that little twist going on, but he's more of a Hollywood type. He was in a movie, and she was more of a kind of hadn't been worldly. And it was really bringing you, for me, it started really slow. And because there's a lot of these twists and turns, and it was like, I didn't know which way it was going. I couldn't tell if it was a comedy. I couldn't tell if this was going to be a romance. It really was a lot of like, oh my gosh, which one am I following here?
Then I just
stepped back. And the more I thought about it was, wait, they were kind of going through their twists and turns of this relationship, and the movie kind of brought you there as well. I mean, I think maybe that was the intent of it.
We're going to have to talk more about this one during our next chat, because we're running out of time, but there's a lot of bizarre cameos in this one as well, and it's good. It's at the Red River Theater in downtown Concord right now. And Kitty Ray, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
I look forward to coming back and continuing this talk.
You will be back, and we'll talk more licorice pizza, I guarantee
it.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
And that'll do it for this edition of Kale & Company right here on WKXL. Thanks for joining us.